It's my pleasure to introduce from the United States a colleague from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Now, I'm terrible at pronunciations at the best times, but I've been given allowances for it. But Mojda is the Associate Director for Innovation and Industry Services. She's had a number of roles, both at NIST, but also across government US agencies. For those in the audience today, for the sort of technology transfer and IP, she was formerly a patent attorney and has a registration for the Technology and Transfer Professionals, the RTTP. For many of us, you know that as a good badge of honor in this space. And I am delighted that we will get a US perspective on this and the ambitions that the US government has in this space. Over to you, Mojda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Good morning and good afternoon. I'm delighted to be with you at the Oxford Summit. Before I start my PowerPoint presentation, I think it's important to note that we are living in really exciting times as far as research, innovation, and collaboration to address global challenges are concerned. As you well know, during President Biden's first foreign visit in advance of the G7 summit, US and UK issued a joint statement that specifically addressed, among other things, SNT collaborations. And I thought to start with maybe some parts of that that is germane to today's conversation. Part of the statement reads, "We will develop a new landmark bilateral technology partnership in 2021-22. It will enable a new era of strategic cooperation to guarantee the safety and security of our citizens that will continue to lead the world in R&D, wealth creation, and tackling inequality, the values of liberal democracies, open societies, and open markets, and that all of these are codified in and threaded throughout the design and use of technology globally. We will strengthen cooperation in areas such as ensuring the diversity, resilience, and security of our critical supply chain, enabling our industries and research institutions to develop and apply existing and emerging technologies such as AI, quantum, battery technologies, and reducing barriers to the accessibility and flow of data to support economic growth, public safety, and scientific and technological progress." The statement goes on to say, "We will continue to strengthen," and this is really germane to what we're talking about, "collaboration in science and technology. This will facilitate increased joint world-class research, as well as encourage the development of rules, norms, and standards governing data sharing, technology, and the digital economy that reflect our values and principles. We will cooperate on the basis of openness, transparency, and reciprocity, and in hope of ensuring that our collaborative research benefits our people. We will combine our expertise to tackle global challenges such as cancer, antimicrobial resistance, climate change, and pandemic preparedness." And it goes on. And these same concepts were emphasized again during the G7 summit. For example, in the G7 Research Compact, which was published alongside the G7 leader's statement, as well as welcome UK support and leadership for the 100-day mission to develop safe and effective vaccines that was endorsed by the G7 leaders. The Research Compact commits the G7 to address the administrative, legal, and regulatory barriers that hinder our scientific cooperation, to explore new mechanisms for more flexible and agile research collaborations, to investigate how open science practices help achieve increasingly robust, reliable, and impactful research outcomes through the renewed G7 Science Working Group, and to set up a new working group to affirm the principles of and to exchange best practices for research security and research integrity. With this as the context for the need and desire for international collaborations, I'll start my PowerPoint presentation. I'll take a moment to talk to you about NIST, only to provide a context for our talk on collaborations. I will then speak on our international engagements in general, as well as highlighting our existing collaborations with the UK. And finally, provide a summary of some pending legislation in the SNT arena that may be of interest to you. So first, talking about the NIST mission. NIST, as you know, is a laboratory under, it's an agency under the Department of Commerce. and its mission is to promote U.S. innovation and industrial competitiveness by advancing measurement science standards and technology in ways that enhance economic security and improve our quality of life. I wanted to give you, next slide, please. I wanted to give you NIST by numbers. We have, and I think some of these numbers are significant. We have 3,400, about 3,400 federal employees, but we have about 3,500 associates. And a lot of the associates are postdocs. Some of them are visiting scientists. Some of them are foreign nationals. Some of them are visiting from other U.S. institutions. We have 5 Nobel Prizes. We have 10 collaborative institutes. We are on 2 campuses, one in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and one in Boulder, Colorado. And we have about more than 400 businesses using our NIST facilities. These are unique facilities that researchers use to advance their research. On the extramural side, we have the Manufacturing USA program, which has 16 right now, actually. There's 16 Manufacturing USA institutions, some of which are sponsored by Department of Defense, some by Department of Energy, and one by Department of Commerce and NIST, and that's the National Institute for Innovation in Manufacturing of Biopharmaceuticals. These are industry-led consortia, and they include global companies as well as small companies and some nonprofits. We have the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Center, which is a center in each of our states, as well as one in Puerto Rico, and they help. They offer technical assistance to small and medium-sized U.S. manufacturers. We have U.S. Baldrige Performance Excellence Program, which is in the business of organizational excellence, and it awards organizations for excellence in performance across different industries. Next slide, please. Now that we know about NIST, I just wanted to kind of give you our thinking on international science and international collaborations. First and foremost, international science is frontier science. It enables cutting-edge research that no nation could achieve alone. And I think we can definitely see that during the pandemic. It strengthens scientific and diplomatic relations. It leverages resources, including funding, expertise, and facilities. It's a pipeline basically for our S&T workforce, as it trains a robust S&T workforce capable of solving global problems. And international students and scholars contribute significantly to the U.S. research and development enterprises. Next slide, please. So what are our tenets when we do international collaborations at NIST? We need to balance engagement in mutually beneficial international research in support of the NIST mission with protecting the integrity of our research enterprise. We need to make sure that we can collaborate, but that we can minimize threat of whether it's intellectual property theft, whether it's hostile attacks on our system. So this is a balancing act, and I would say not necessarily an easy one. We also provide global leadership in measurement science and standards. We have a lot of collaborations around measurements and metrology around the world. It enhances measurement and standards infrastructure that enables global market access for U.S. products. It promotes harmonized standards and transparent regulatory regimes across the globe. And it supports the administration priorities and U.S. foreign policy objectives, some of which helped us frame this conversation. Next slide, please. NIST works at a global, at a regional, and bilateral capacities. We focus globally on infrastructure needed for key emerging technologies, international recognition of measurement capabilities, and international standards developments. These activities tend to be facilitated through multilateral fora like the Treaty of the Meter for Measurement Science Research, or the International Laboratory Accreditation Cooperation, or international standards bodies like ISO or IEC. We sometimes work regionally, so The regional collaborations focus on measurements and standards challenges unique to the region and support international recognition of measurement capabilities. For example, NIST is very active in the Americas. Currently, we hold the presidency of the Sistema Interamericano de Metrología, or SIM, which is the regional metrology organization for the Americas. We are also an associate member of the Asia Pacific Metrology Program and have provided assistance and training opportunities for developing NMIs, not only in SIM, but also in Asia Pacific and African regions. In addition, and I think some of these bilateral efforts with the UK were highlighted, we work with under bilateral cooperations, cooperative agreements or MOUs. This would include the NIST relationship, for example, with UKAS, and tends to focus on research topics of mutual interest and benefit. This is typically driven by the scientific staff or to fulfill administration priorities. This also includes MOUs like the US-Brazil commercial dialogue led by Department of Commerce, with NIST leading the standards and metrology activities, BIRDS, which is the Israel-US binational industrial research and development foundation activities. These science and technology engagements, I want to be clear that they are typically led by our State Department and the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which Eric Lander leads. And NIST has bilateral engagements with national metrology institutes, universities, and research centers around the world. Next slide, please. In my introductory remarks about NIST, I mentioned that we have about the equal number, if not more, visiting scientists than we have federal employees. And we significantly benefit from the engagement of our partners and international experts who work on our campuses and in the NIST laboratories. They come from institutions both inside and outside the US, and they lend their expertise to NIST research programs. Again, for these projects to happen, we must benefit from the foreign participation or the visitors' participation. So things, for example, like the expertise of the visitor, the contributions that they can make to the NIST programs are all considered. Given that we have to keep the integrity of our agency, and that's very important to us, these agreements are reviewed at many different levels. The laboratory management obviously reviews it for the scientific expertise. Then we have an export control review. We have a review by senior bureau officials and our Office of International Academic and International Affairs. And also they are vetted by the security office to make sure that having the visitor on our campus is productive and we can ensure the integrity of the agency and of the science. Next slide, please. I just wanted to provide an example of some of the things that we do that have international impact and have widespread impact. Initially developed with a focus on critical infrastructure, the NIST cybersecurity framework continues to be a useful tool for managing cybersecurity risk. In the 5 years since it was first produced, with the active engagement of both private and public sectors. This original framework and an updated version, which I believe was released in April of 2018, are having a broad positive impact both in the US and around the world. And translations of the framework are available in Spanish, Arabic, Japanese, Portuguese, Bulgarian, and Polish. And there are adaptations in many countries, including Italy, Israel, Uruguay, and others are referencing the framework in various ways, including Brazil, Canada, and Switzerland. These adaptations and translations are available to all of you on our website, and we are continuing the efforts within ISO and IEC, including recent work with international partners on technical specification. That's technical specification 27110 that was published recently in February of 2021. And this technical specification focuses on developing cybersecurity framework and leverages the contents of the version 1.1 of the framework. Also, the World Bank is considering recommending that anyone receiving World Bank funds for Internet of Things related issues adopt or use the framework in some capacity. So that gives us some semblance of standard cybersecurity activity. Next slide, please. Now on to an engagement that we are very proud of and is specifically related to the UK. Some UK-US collaborations were highlighted with NIH, with NSF, and with the NIST advanced manufacturing as a topic with NIST. This is another engagement that is between UKRI and NIST, and the aim is to collaborate in technology transfer areas and facilitate innovation and commercialization best practices. It was formalized on November 20 of last year, and it's a five-year MOU. And it's it aims to support activity around staff exchanges among technology transfer staff, to do joint research and share best practices on technology transfer and knowledge exchange, to collaborate to improve connections between manufacturing program and research funded by the US and UK governments, and also to cooperate and collaborate on efforts concerning the mapping and analysis of regional innovation and economic development, basically the regional ecosystems. What we hope to also do is to advance US-UK ongoing transatlantic engagement on the role of technology-based innovation in economic resilience and the societal benefits that cooperation will bring about, to enhance the US-UK scientific cooperation in general, and specifically in priority areas such as AI, advanced manufacturing, and quantum and information science, and to support NIST and UKR partners in delivering on their shared mission. The effort was announced in the context of a virtual meeting held by 10U that was alluded to. And 10U includes leading tech transfer offices both in the US, UK, and Belgium. And they include universities such as Cambridge, Columbia, Edinburgh, Imperial College of London, Leuven, Manchester, MIT, Oxford, Stanford, and University College of London. I hope I got everybody. Next slide, please. I thought you might be interested in some of the pending legislation that's before our Congress and will affect the S&T space in the US. The first one is USICA. You might have heard of the Endless Frontier Act. Endless Frontier Act is now part of USICA, which was introduced in the Senate, and it passed the Senate, and it's now at the House. This is the bill that adds a technology directorate to the National Science Foundation. It also creates university technology centers at the regional level. And there is this is germane to NIST because it also encourages that these regional hubs work with the manufacturing extension program that I just mentioned and the advanced manufacturing institutes under our Manufacturing USA program. The next one is the House of Representatives 2013, which is Securing American Leadership in Science and Technology Act. It proposes revision to the Stevenson-Wendler Act. That's the act that governs technology transfer in the federal labs, most federal labs that are government-owned, government-operated. It modernizes our STEM workforce. It requires, there are some agencies that have what is called small technology transfer research funds, and it requires them to provide grants for innovative technology transfer approaches for the commercialization of federally funded R&D. This is an effort that was, the commercialization of federally funded R&D is something that is the subject of conversation and has been as to what is the return on investment for our taxpayers, given that the federal agencies' R&D budget is appropriated for most of the agencies and most of the funds that are used by scientists within the agencies. And some of the NIST return on investment package provisions were included in this bill. The provisions on that package is, there is 10 suggestions. And some of them are to enable government agencies, the government-owned, government-operated ones, to be able to seek copyright, for example, to extend the period of confidentiality of information under certain agreements, and to streamline some of the practices under the Stevenson-Weiler Act. The next one is the Innovation Centers Acceleration Act, which creates a cabinet level committee to select and find 9 new innovation centers across the country. As you see, there is a theme of bringing innovation together and building not just a center, but centers that can vitalize regional economies, among other things. There is the America Leads Act, which proposes to address technology and economic issues related to competition with China. There is a part of the act where we are that hopes to strengthen U.S. manufacturing requirement, especially in the context of government-funded inventions. And last but not least is the NIST Return on Investment Legislative Package, which has now become part of the Securing American Leadership in Science and Technology Act that I just mentioned. Next slide, please. So in summary, when we engage in international activities, the international activity that NIST supports needs to be related to our mission and needs to have a tangible benefit to NIST and Department of Commerce. This is a way to make sure every agency does what they're best at and offers what they're best at. The diversity of international activities at NIST reflect the leadership in measurement and standards and this commitment to mutually beneficial engagement to support the global measurement and standards infrastructure. This is one area where truly one cannot do anything alone and one needs to engage one's partners across the globe. International engagement is primarily pursued through the NIST Laboratories and Standards Coordination Office. As I mentioned, there are many players in the manufacturing institutes that are more multinational corporations. So in that way, also the Manufacturing USA program is engaged in international engagement. And with few exceptions, NIST extramural programs engage primarily on information exchange and benchmarking activities with our international colleagues. Next slide, please. Thank you very much for your kind attention and look forward to the questions.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well done for remembering all of the 10 institutions for 10U. I'm sure the team will be very delighted that you could remember them all.